Let's pray. Indeed, Lord, there is none like you. We're gathered here once again as your people because you have called us to yourself. We don't deserve your forgiveness, Lord. We don't deserve your mercy. We don't deserve your grace. We don't deserve the blessing that you have brought into our lives. But you have done this, Lord, as an expression of your love and your goodness. The expression of your holiness and your righteousness and your justice we saw in Jesus Christ, our Savior, who bore the punishment for our sins in himself on his body on the cross. And Lord, it is only because of him and our faith in him and what he has done for us that we are gathered here today before you as your people. God, you've called us in love. You've called us to a life of service, a life of obedience and faith, serving you through obeying your word, fulfilling the purposes you have for our lives, serving you too by serving one another. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to grow in our understanding and our obedience to that command, that we would serve one another in love. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Serving one another. We are called to serve one another, but all too often it seems that rather than serving one another, it's like we are in competition with one another. And I came across this little story that I think illustrates for us all the human tendency toward competition. It's a story, a news story here that says, after having dug to a depth of 10 meters last year, Scottish scientists found traces of copper wire dating back 100 years and came to the conclusion that their ancestors already had a telephone network more than 100 years ago. And not to be outdone by the Scots, in the weeks that followed, English scientists dug to a depth of 20 meters, and shortly after, headlines in the English newspapers read, English archaeologists have found traces of 200-year-old copper wire and have concluded that their ancestors already had an advanced high-tech communications network 100 years earlier than the Scots. Well, 1 week later, the Kerryman, a Southwest Irish newsletter, reported the following. After digging as deep as 30 meters in a peat bog near Tralee, Paddy O'Droll, a self-taught archaeologist, reported that he had found absolutely nothing. And Paddy has therefore concluded that 300 years ago, Ireland had already gone wireless. Competition, competing with one another. Is this the life that God has called us to? God has called us to a life of fellowship, of biblical fellowship, koinonia, common life. We said that though we are many, many individuals, we are one body of Christ. And through the Spirit, then, we are to love one another with Christ's sacrificial love. That we are to forgive one another just as Christ has forgiven us. Well, today we want to talk about service, that attitude of servanthood, that we are to serve one another. The follower of Christ, then, what is the concept I want us to take away from today? Is this, the follower of Christ is truly free when serving others in love. True freedom is service. We'll be looking at Galatians chapter 5, just a couple of verses there, a few verses, Galatians 5, 13 through 15. But before we look at that, I'd like to put it in context for us here. The very clear and unmistakable message of the book of Galatians is that believers have been justified or made right with God by faith, not by works. The good things that we do or the things that we think are good works, these don't bring us any merit or favor with God. God is a holy and righteous God, and try as we may, nothing we do brings us favor with God, brings us righteousness and holiness and forgiveness. It's only faith in the holiness and the righteousness of Jesus Christ and his payment for our sin on the cross that brings us justification or being made right with God. It's by faith, not by works. And Scripture declares that every human being, every one of us here, everyone in this world is a slave to something. We are all slaves to something. We are either slaves to sin and death, or we're slaves to Christ. We're all either slaves to the law or slaves to Christ. And to paraphrase that great theologian Bob Dylan, you got to serve somebody, right? Now, I know that was probably the worst Bob Dylan impression you've ever heard, but that's all right because I don't do impressions. Voices are not my talent there. But it's true, you got to serve somebody, right? Before you put your faith in Christ, you were a slave to sin and death. But now that you have been set free from sin and death, you are free to serve Christ. And we serve Christ when we serve others. But sadly, though, there are some believers who don't really understand that freedom and what real freedom is, and have a tendency then to gravitate to one of two extremes on this matter. One extreme is what we call legalism. That's this idea that our faith then is all about following the rules. You got to do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. This becomes our faith. Do this, don't do that, don't do that. And oftentimes what happens is people can then who have a concept of faith in that way then can have a tendency then to become judgmental of others. When our faith becomes all about following rules and regulations, we lose something. We lose the beauty and the joy of our freedom in Christ. So that's one extreme, that legalism. And there's another extreme that we call license. There's no law, no law. Just do whatever you want. This attitude says that we just set God's commandments and our obligations aside. We don't have to worry about those things because, hey, I'm free from all of that. I can do anything I want now. I'm forgiven. Of course, both of those extremes are sad and tragic distortions of the biblical doctrine of justification by faith and consequently our freedom in Christ. The true doctrine, what's the truth? If those are the extremes, what is the true doctrine then of this freedom in Christ that we have by faith? Well, the true doctrine is this, that we have been delivered. We have been delivered from sin and death. And we are therefore now free to experience the freedom and joy of the Lord by serving God and other people. It is when we serve God and we serve others that we then know freedom and joy. Let's look then at our passage here in Galatians chapter 5. Starting verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." Some tough words to end that, isn't it? But it's true. Now first look at our call to freedom we see there, our call to freedom. You, my brothers, my sisters here, you were called to be free. In verse 1 of this chapter, Paul spoke of the Christian's freedom. And he warned against the danger of lapsing into slavery to the law again. In other words, legalism. He was warning against that. That you are called to freedom in Christ. Don't become a slave to the law again, where you think that your relationship with God is all about doing this and this and this and not doing that and that and that and not experiencing the freedom and joy of the Lord. Misunderstanding what the Christian faith is. It's not a set of rules and regulations. warned against that danger of thinking of faith in that way, of legalism. And now, going after the other side here, license, or indulging, doing whatever we want. Well, the fact is that you and I were born with a sin nature, and while we're operating out of that rebellious sin nature, we can't please God. We can't do what's right. We can't obey Him. We can't obey His righteous and holy commands. And God has given the law, a revelation of Himself and His standards of what's right and true and good. And it reveals His holiness to us. It shows us what we must do in order to be right with Him. But the problem, though, is that you and I, in our sin nature, we can't obey those commandments, can we? So all the law does, God's commandments, all they do is condemn us. And I'm not making this up, by the way. This is what Paul said right out of the scriptures, in Galatians and Romans. It says all that God's commandments do in and of themselves is they don't help us, they don't lift us up. What do? They condemn us because they show us what we truly are. Sinners. So the law condemns us, and it reveals the fact that we're guilty, that we deserve God's judgment. And besides all of that, we already stand condemned because of the sin nature we're born with. Pretty grim picture, isn't it? But that's where Christ and grace come in. Jesus lived the perfectly obedient and holy life that you and I never could. He took upon Himself the punishment for our sin, eternal condemnation. And now, in the most amazing good news of all, God says that He will forgive. He will forgive those who admit their need, admit their guilt, put their trust in Christ. Not only will He forgive, but that He will pour out eternal blessing, eternal life on them. That is grace. God will set them free from slavery to sin and death. He will set them free from God's wrath and condemnation. And Jesus said that if He, the Son, that if He sets you free, you will be free indeed. You'll be free to know Him, free to know His love and His joy. You'll be free to know true freedom, which is found in serving God and others in love, rather than serving the enslaving desires of the sinful nature. So what is the call to freedom? The call to freedom, I'd say, is two things. First, the call to freedom is this: to the sinner who does not know freedom and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. It says the call is, sinner, you can know freedom from sin and death and its consequences by faith in the work of Jesus for you, in His death on the cross and resurrection from the grave. That can be yours by faith. And the call to freedom then is this. There's also another call that goes out. It's a call to the Christian, to the believer. Sometimes Christians need to be set free too. We were already set free, but we're not living it, are we? We need to be reminded of the freedom we have in Christ. And so that call is this. Christian, you can know true freedom. How? By joyfully serving God and others. If we're living to serve ourselves, we're not going to know the true freedom of Christ. But if we are serving God and others, we will know true freedom. We will know the love and the joy of God. So the call then says, don't be a slave. Don't be a slave to the law again through legalism, thinking that your faith is all about a bunch of rules. You do this, don't do that. Of course, we're called to obey God and obey His word. And that means there are things that we are commanded to do, other things we're commanded not to do, attitudes we're to have. Of course. But that's not what our faith is ultimately about, the doing of this and this and not doing that and that. It's about a relationship of love and joy and freedom in the Holy Spirit and filling and fulfilling God's will for our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. So don't become a slave to the law again that just condemns through legalism. On the other hand, don't become a slave either to the flesh again by indulging its every whim, Whatever your sin, whatever comes to you naturally that you want to think this way, you want to say that thing to that person, you want to do this or you don't want to do that, if you just can give yourself over to those quote-unquote natural desires, and they are that, aren't they? You will become a slave to those things. Don't give yourself over to the slavery of license. Legalism or license, don't give yourself over to either one of those. Sadly, though, there were some among the Galatian believers here that Paul's writing to who were misunderstanding or misusing that freedom that they had in Christ. They were misusing their freedom in Christ. What were they doing? Well, as we read before, they're doing what? They were indulging the flesh, giving themselves up. Whatever just came naturally to them, they thought it, they said it, they did it. Indulging it. This is the person who does this is a libertine. A libertine is the person who misuses his or her freedom in this way. He just says, I can do whatever I want. I'm not subject to any laws or commandments. I'm free. A gross perversion of liberty or freedom. The libertine then says, hey, I'm forgiven. So I can go ahead. I can do whatever I want. I can deliberately do something I know is wrong. Why? Because I can just what? Ask for forgiveness, right? I know I've never thought that way. None of us here have thought that way, but some people out there have, so we're just going to talk about them this morning, okay? I can do anything I want because I'm forgiven. And you know what? Yeah, if it's I can do that because, you know what, I'll just ask forgiveness. I'm good. It's good. God's grace. So the libertine then believes that true freedom is being free to do whatever you want to do. Is that true? Is true freedom being free to do whatever you want to do? Is that real freedom? Is true freedom found in doing whatever you want? Would anyone here like to testify to that and stand up and say, you know what? I have just done everything, just whatever comes to my little heart's mind, you know, I just do it. I give myself over. And boy, I have never known such joy and freedom in my life when I just indulge my sinful nature. When I say whatever I want to say, when I do whatever I want to do, when I think whatever I want to think, boy, I've never known such joy and freedom. I just do whatever I want. I indulge the sin nature. I just give in. And boy, I've never been more free in my whole life. Last Friday night, Teen Impact here, the devotion focused on, we were looking at the temptation of Jesus, that account there, talking about the subject of temptation then. I told this story, there was a pastor who was preaching to his congregation there, and he asked if there is anyone here in the congregation, has anyone in this congregation ever struggled with temptation? And he said, raise your hand if you have struggled with temptation. Well, in that room, every single hand went up then except for one in the back, man back there. And the pastor was kind of amazed by this guy. And so he asked the man, he says, you mean to tell me you have never struggled with temptation? And the man says, nope. Whenever I'm tempted, I just give in. It's no struggle at all. Well, you know, that's the attitude of the libertine. Just give in to the temptation because, after all, you're free in Christ. You're forgiven. Well, I think we all know that doing whatever you want is not real freedom. And even the secular world understands this. You don't have to be a Christian to understand that doing whatever you want is not going to lead to real freedom. Many young adults go through a period of their life, we might call an indulgent stage, if you will, kind of casting off or throwing off maybe some of the rules and the regulations or things that their parents or their church or whoever put on them. They say, well, now I'm free. You know, I'm an adult. I'm on my own. I'm free. I can do what I want. I'm going to live my life the way I want to. And, well, you know, a healthy independence is well and good. Sometimes it becomes not so healthy of an independence. It becomes a sinful indulgence. And many young adults has gone through this indulgent stage only to discover that it leads to an empty and meaningless existence. Not Christians, non-believers understand this as well. I know many. I've worked with many. Some of them are my friends. But sadly, though, many who discover this indulgence will only indulge further in an attempt to try to cover up the pain and the emptiness. And they do this because they don't understand or won't understand that Jesus offers true freedom. Even Hollywood understands this. You know, I think for every movie that's been made about the self-made, I did it my way, man or woman, there are many more that chronicle the life of devastation that comes from just doing whatever one wants to do. For every Sinatra-like glory story, there are dozens of Leaving Las Vegas stories. The secular world knows that indulgence is not true freedom. But sadly, though, sometimes as believers in Jesus, we know that, I think, in our heads, but we don't live it. We don't always live with the true freedom that we have in Christ. We too can become preoccupied with indulging the sinful nature, only to discover, not just in theory, but in hard life experience, that it doesn't bring real freedom. It only leads to slavery, degradation, and ruined persons. I did it my way usually means you've destroyed yourself and other people in the process. Take a look again at verse 15, and if you don't believe me, what does he say? Verse 15, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. The call to freedom, the misuse of freedom. Well, what is the proper use of the freedom that we have in Christ? Well, it's this. In one word, servanthood. Servanthood. Serving God, serving other people. Putting God first, putting others before yourself. We are first servants of God, and then servants of others. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, that's a theme that Paul will emphasize starting in verse 16. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be truly free then. How? By obeying God and lovingly serving others. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. You know, God's word is full of ironies and paradoxes. Ironies and paradoxes. And one of the great ironies of the scriptures here is about freedom, real freedom. The great irony of true freedom is that it is found by being a servant to others. Do you want to be free? Be a slave to God and others. When we try to be the masters of our own lives, we only reap bondage and ruin. And when we're servants of the Lord, lovingly giving of ourselves to serve others, we reap freedom and joy. I won't spend a lot of time on this one. We've talked about that one a couple of weeks ago. The love principle. What is the greatest commandment? Jesus was asked. What did he say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. With all your being, you love God with all your being. He comes first. And the second is like it, which is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. How do you want to be treated? How do you want to be loved? Well, do you have concern for yourself? Well, have that same concern for others. But then Jesus had to go and up the ante for his followers, didn't he? He said, you know, love the Lord your God with all your being. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then he said something else, though. He said, you have heard it said. You know that word of love. But he says, a new commandment I give you. Love one another, nothing new about that, but what is new? When he said, as I have loved you, so you are to love one another. He's love with the love of Jesus Christ, that sacrificial, giving, committed love. And you know what? We demonstrate real love then by serving others. Is love a feeling? No. Is there a feeling component in love? Yeah, but is the feeling itself love? No, the love is the... It's an attitude, it's a choice, it's an action, isn't it? Finally, then a warning here, a warning. says, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Isn't this a picture of what happens when everyone's out for themselves, indulging their own natures, not having an attitude of service toward one another? What happens? Conflicts, bitter jealousies, rivalries. Maybe the legalists are busy condemning, looking down at the others. Misuse of freedom by indulging the flesh leads to joy and freedom, right? No, it leads to destruction. Those who are focused on themselves, their own wants and desires, who do not love as they have been loved, will inevitably run into conflict with other selfish creatures who are attempting to do the very same thing. And the explosion is inevitable, and the destruction is sure. Indulging the flesh, in this case, things like what? Gossip? Self-righteous criticism? Judgment? Envy? Jealousies? Bitterness? All of these things leads to what? Ruin. Destruction. So what does God call us to then? He calls us, well, serve. Serve one another. You know, I want to tell you, there are so many wonderful examples of service in this church that I've seen over the years here. I see commitment. I see hard work. I see integrity. I see concern for others. Responding when there's a need, doing what we can when we can. And thank you again for your service to me. I've seen it over the years again and again and again. I think last year, you know, with the house, with all that, it's amazing everything that you people did to rally, to help with that. With my recent adventure in the hospital with the surgery, another example of that selfless giving and service there. And by the way, I'm going to be needing that again in a couple of weeks. But so you're not off the hook yet for that. Round two is February 23rd, so you know what? We handle these kinds of things. We do these kinds of things well, but I know that we can do better. And Lord willing, we'll continue to grow in that. But that isn't what I want to focus in on for right now. What I want to focus in on today, what I want to emphasize here today is the heart, the servant's heart. Not the specifics of what we do, but rather the heart from which those things flow from. The servant's heart. And not just in a theoretical kind of way toward the church, but toward individuals. And maybe individuals in your life that you struggle with sometimes to get along or with or understand. Those are the ones that are really tough to serve, aren't they? We can joyfully serve those we like, can't we? Those we get along with. But what if we struggle a little bit with someone? What if someone struggles a little bit with you? What does an attitude of service look like in that case? Right, we see examples in the scripture here from the very disciples. These men were with Jesus Christ, the Son of God in human flesh, shared God in human flesh with them for 3.5 years. And what do they do? Well, they're busy arguing with one another about who's the greatest among them. Jesus knows this, and he says, this is not how it's to be among you. My followers, you know the Gentiles, how they lord their authority over others. It's not about who's the greatest among us. If you want to be great, don't be like them, thinking who can lord authority over the other. If you want to be great in my kingdom, then you do what? You serve. You serve. The greatest in my kingdom is the least, the servant of all. Amazingly enough, Jesus had told them that. And we know that they had heard it at least one time before, but there were probably other instances. But then we read of another time in the scriptures when Jesus had the same conversation with them. It was on the night that he was about to be betrayed, and he was going to go to the cross. Imagine what was on his heart and his mind on that very night, knowing that in just a matter of hours he was going to be crucified, that he was going to take on the sin of the world upon himself. And what are his disciples doing in that upper room? Arguing about who's the greatest. What did Jesus do? Got up, took off his outer robe, his outer garment, got a bucket of water and a towel, and did what? He washed their feet, the act of a lowly servant. They were all so busy. The night before Jesus was going to give up his life on the cross for us, for them and for us, they're busy arguing about who's the greatest. And Jesus gets up and does the lowest thing a person could do, a servant washing their dirty feet. He says, this is how it is to be with you. Now, did Jesus mean that every time we get together, we should all take off our shoes and socks and wash one another's feet? He's talking about what? An attitude. An attitude of service, serving one another. That your needs are more important than my own. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been called to freedom in Christ. God has not set us free from sin and death so that we can go through the scriptures trying to figure out every place where we're falling short, everything where we need to that we need to do better in, and just to keep trying to do better and work hard to obey this, to avoid that. And I'm not talking about license here, folks, but our faith is not about rules and regulations. Do this, do this, don't do that. It's about freedom in Christ. And you know what? When we're truly free in Christ, when we're living by the Spirit, then yeah, we're going to put to death those misdeeds of the sinful nature. What does Paul say? Verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. You've been called to freedom in Christ. You don't have to be a slave to the law anymore. You're free by the power of the Holy Spirit to obey God and know the love and joy of God in that. But you're also then not free then just to do whatever you want. That's not freedom. That's slavery, isn't it? You've been called to freedom, true freedom in Christ, which is service, so being a servant to God and a servant to others. With freedom comes the responsibility to serve in love. God has set us free for a purpose. What? To serve him and serve others. But unfortunately, we learn from this text what? That failure to serve in love may lead to utter destruction. Isn't it true? You get a bunch of people that they're all concerned about their own selves, their own agendas, their own wants and desires, indulging their flesh. Do you really believe that that's going to lead to good things, to freedom and joy and love and the Spirit? No, of course not. What's it going to lead to? Conflict and destruction. So who is your, who or what is your master? Everybody has to serve somebody. Every single one of us here is serving somebody. Sinners who don't know Christ are serving the law of sin and death. Believers then are free from that and called to serve, but we can go back to trying to serve the law, or we can serve the flesh. Neither one of those is freedom. Is Jesus Christ the master, the Lord of your life? Is he the one you look to serve above and beyond all else? Who or what is your master? Are you a servant then? Well, you are a servant. We're all servants of something. But are you a servant of God and a servant of others? Do you have that servant heart that God has called us to? Talking about fellowship, what is that? Again, that mysterious word, fellowship. Fellowship, it's about a lot of things. It's loving one another, forgiving one another, serving one another, and a whole host of other things. But do you have that servant heart, that servant heart? Now, I want to remind you again quickly that there's good news. The gospel is good news for believers. I don't want you to walk out of here thinking, oh, man, I just got beat up again. I don't. You know what? Getting beat up from the pulpit. Sometimes we deserve to get beaten up, though. You know, we need that. All right? But I don't want you to walk out of here feeling like, oh, yet again, I'm falling so far short. And you know what? If you feel like you're falling far short and that you've got a long way to go in this thing, congratulations, because you get it. You understand it. Okay? But here's the gospel. The good news is God knows that too. God has indeed forgiven us in Christ. He has indeed washed you and cleansed you, declared you holy and righteous in his sight. And he has given you his spirit. And he has said that whenever we have fallen short, and we will, what? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The moment you believed in Jesus, you didn't repent from your sins once and for all, and now you're on this perfect journey, you know, through life here. No, the gospel is we continue to repent. We continue to believe. We continue to grow in faith. And by the way, God gives his grace to us along the way. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this challenge from your word, that you have called us to a life of freedom, but that freedom is service. Service to you, service to others. God, I pray that we would have servant hearts here. God, where there needs be conviction, I pray that your spirit would apply that. Where there needs encouragement and uplifting, I pray that your spirit would do that. But God, I pray that we would walk out of here then with this conviction. And not just today, but in the days, the weeks, the months, the years ahead, that you've called us to be servants. Servants of you, servants to one another. May we wash one another's feet. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.